I next met with Dr. Aaron Gerds from the Cleveland Clinic Tulsa Cancer Institute, and to begin, I asked him if he believed there were any myths or misperceptions amongst general medical oncologists in a community-based setting specifically related to myelofibrosis or myeloproliferative neoplasms in general.
There's a couple of things that are still out there today. So one is that you have to have a JAK mutation in order to have a benefit from a JAK inhibitor.
Well, people still don't know that.
Yeah, I know you did the survey in 2014, and it's still out there. I still saw a patient in the last 6 months who was told that they're unlikely to respond to a JAK inhibitor because they don't have the JAK2 mutation.
Wow.
I don't know if that's what they're being told, the patients that I see, or it's something that they maybe saw on the internet, or they're just using logic saying, well, gee, I don't have a JAK mutation. This drug is probably not going to work. So I think the education gap is much smaller than it used to be, but there's still a little gap there. The other biggest gap I see in education is actually the role of transplantation. So I'm seeing a fair number of patients, say, in their late 60s who are otherwise very healthy individuals who have very high-risk myelofibrosis by whatever measure you want to use. And they're telling me, well, you know, I don't think I'm transplant eligible because I'm too old, or someone told me that I'm too old. And actually, we're seeing successful transplantation for patients with myelofibrosis up and through the age of 70 and even into the early 70s. So I think we're seeing some barrier there in communicating who might be a transplant eligible patient versus those who may not.